Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we ask ourselves if it's worth the fight.
Hello and welcome to the weekly conversation with Kyle. This week on the conversation, wow, devastating news coming out of Manchester United. I'll get into that. Also, why is Ohio Governor John Kasich still in the running? He really has no mathematical chance except for at the convention if Trump or Cruz doesn't seal the nomination beforehand. Also, the conversation, as well as many Americans, stands with Belgium. But there's Obama in the White House. My thoughts on him saying one thing and watching a baseball game in Cuba doing the exact opposite. And Tom Brokaw actually has said and come out against Obama. And I'm going to get into things he actually said a long time ago. He's a liberal broadcaster, but I've always liked him because he's just one of those people that calls. He says it like it is. If you like what he says or not, he's not afraid to say it like it is, you know. But just say, hey, well, maybe I'll watch him because he's not really objective. Also, AIPAC. I'll get into the conference and, you know, Hillary pushing her lies and stuff. And, you know, and I'll get into that. And, you know, who I think really did the most there. The candidates. Also, Trump needs to grow a pair. You know, Megyn Kelly goes, he gets all PO'd because Megyn Kelly goes off on him. What do you think? If you become president, they're all going to attack you if you're in the GOP. You got to grow up. That, and there's a couple movies I want you to, or one I really want you to check out and that stuff. So, thank you and welcome to the conversation. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Isaiah 53:5. Think about that as you're going through your day today, and welcome to the program. And I want to get into some great news. I don't know if you heard about this. There's a lady and also a man from Massachusetts. She was carrying, she actually won through the Supreme Court because the federal courts told the Massachusetts Supreme Court to hear this, and she actually won the right to be able to carry a stun gun to protect herself from her ex. And, you know, it's just one of those things that goes to show that, you know, that they try to take away our freedoms, but more and more they're wanting us, people are winning cases when they're, you know, violating a rule. Hey, I want to carry a stun gun or a handgun to protect myself. And, you know, when you're violating law and they take it to court and they win. So, victory for freedom. That's what I want you to realize. Freedom. Which a lot of people nowadays who are anti-Trump don't want. Because they support Cuba and the DPRK. Hopefully my listeners know what the DPRK is, but I'll get into that later. But some sad news out of Hollywood. As growing up as a kid, I always loved watching It's Gary Shandling, the show. It was just incredible. And he died at 66. I guess the 911 was called to his residence and he wasn't doing well. And when they took him to the hospital, he ended up dying. So it's one of the last times I remember seeing HBO and Showtime and stuff like that, because it was on Showtime, you know, and because, like, we didn't have Showtime and HBO a lot growing up, and I can remember when Disney Channel was pay-per-view, because there's a guy that has some Kids Incorporated videos, and when you watch them, it has, like, to subscribe to Disney Channel, because they'd have, like, free weekends every once in a while you can watch, and, you know, and it just brings you back to the 80s, and how, I guess I'm losing it right now just because it's hard to believe that it's 31 years ago today that the Breakfast Club, the Rat Pack, I call it the Rat Pack, but it's the Brat Pack, actually served their Saturday detention 31 years ago. I guess that movie just brings me back to, because there's a bunch of movies like Die Hard and Dazed and Confused and Real Genius and The Breakfast Club I could watch over and over and over again. And I guess it brings me back to that era that I remember that I wish we could all go back to. But it's scary when you think that, like, my iPhone is like 10 times bigger in space than the computers that they were having in The Breakfast Club. They're huge, but they had like no memory, and you had to like know a command and type it in to get it to do a math problem. You'd have been better off taking a piece of paper and doing, 25 times 10 than it would be doing the equation that when you hit it enter, it would give you a command. And when you did this command, you could get it to do like a math problem, So it's just hard to believe how technology has like advanced so far in those, it's just hard to believe. I'm getting old. I sound like my parents. Hey, but the apple don't far too fall from the tree. But, it's just, like when I talk about The Breakfast Club, and it just, I guess I never thought I would go to see a country where you have people that are anti-Trump, that bleep Trump and F this and F that, and he's anti-American, and he's the Antichrist, and he's a reincarnation of Adolf Hitler, and and this guy is filming, and she's like, you need to take your bleep and white privilege and get out of here. I'm like, okay, white privilege? You want me to take you down to Kentucky where there are coal miners that don't have jobs? Because my mom recently went down there with some people from the Model Lake Club, and they're like, well, where's the antique places? Because they love antiques, and they said, they don't have antique places here. Okay? They have a table and chair, and they use it till the thing falls apart. And then they're duct taping it together, because they don't have. But, great country that, everything's just perfect, because Obama's Jesus Christ, and he can't do no wrong. But it's just these anti-Trump people are scary. There was a guy that I think, I might be wrong, but it was like he was the editor of like the Revolutionary Communist Party of the United States. These people want to have communism in this country. And there are people that support Cuba and support the DPRK, which, if you don't know, stands for the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, and it's what the Koreans in North Korea call their country. You realize they have no freedom. They are told what to do, if they can eat, when they can crap, where they can crap. Okay, you're going to sew shirts. I don't want to sew shirts. Well, that's what you're doing. You don't have a choice. Okay? See, there's a 10-foot deep by 40-foot trench. You're gonna sew shirts, or you're gonna get shot and be thrown in there. And if one of your family members escapes or leaves North Korea, you might just get executed because they left. You won't, even though you're praising Kim Jong-un, they don't care. They don't care how dedicated you can't be too dedicated because one of your family members left. Oh, but these people that are anti-Trump want all this stuff. They want all this government owning you and running you. They think that Cuba is so great. Yeah, the cigars might be, but other than that, no. It's scary. It's scary, some of these, like I've talked about for weeks, these people that congratulated Kim Jong-un on a successful hydrogen bomb test. I could understand if they at least said, well, wait a minute, what do you mean by hydrogen bomb test? Is it some sort of new power source that when you detonate this bomb, it's called that, but it's basically what you're doing, and it's producing energy? I mean, it's sort of like that, what was it, the airplane movies where they go, the bomb. Yeah, the bomb, where you couldn't, it's like, at least the bomb part would have freaked me out. I'm like, really? What do you mean by bomb? If those kids would at least say, well, what do you mean by bomb, hydrogen bomb? Hopefully you're talking about like nuclear, like fusion, maybe to produce energy, that like if you detonate this bomb, it produces enough energy to power, you know, 1,000 homes for 10 years, and it's, you know, safe and da-da-da, you know. That'd be my, you know, I could say, okay, yeah, but when they're, like, congratulating them on this, it's scary. These kids are so uneducated. But then again, you could take a speech that Donald Trump writes, type it out word for word, have Hillary Clinton read it out there to those people, and they'd be praising her. But if Donald Trump was to read the same thing, they'd be going off. That reincarnation of Hitler, we need to get that bleep and bleeper bleep out of here. And I mean, they don't have the brain God gave them. It's scary. It's really, really scary. And that's what I try to educate people. I don't care who you vote for. If you want to vote for her, Bernie Sanders, great. Know what the heck he stands for. And I don't know what he stands for. I mean, because I want to get into this really quick about Tom Brokaw went off, you know, hey, why isn't Obama's, he needs to say, hey, I want to stay, I want to watch this baseball game, but you know what, there was an attack in Belgium, we need to do something, we need to figure out how we're going to deal with this. As a national,
even people don't care.
And the problem you have, and he called it out, but what one thing I want to get into is what Tom Brokaw said years ago. He goes, who is this man? We have elected, because he was first like, he's like, well, we're about to elect somebody, I believe, or we can elect someone to, we have elected someone that, who is this guy? We don't even know much about this person. He has really no experience. He has nothing that they can say, okay, well, this is his accomplishments. This is how far right he is or how far left he is. We don't really know anything about this man. Out of nowhere, this guy's poof, running for president, now he's elected. Who is this man? You've elected someone that you really have no idea who he is. Half the people that elected him couldn't tell you his running mate. John McCain was his running mate, duh. Hello? I mean, that's... And he's very left, Tom Brokaw, don't get me wrong. But he was just like, you know, what is he doing in Cuba when this is going on? I mean, is it going to take them attacking us and blowing up 10 buildings like 9/11 and Obama just not doing anything? Are they still going to support him? Are they still going to back him? I kind of think they probably still would stand behind him. I think it's those radical Trump supporters that, you know, that don't like Hillary Clinton, so they had to bomb our country, you know. I would love to know what they would say. They probably would say something like that. It really is scary. Because you just wonder where these people are coming from. That we've gone from this, you know, people fighting for freedom to these people that want, like, a dictator in there that will tell them when they can wipe their butt, when they can shower, when they can brush their teeth. Oh, yeah, we want this so we can, because they don't understand what free means. Free means you get it if the government gives it to you. North Korea has free health care, but let me tell you, you ain't getting any. And if you're lucky, okay, you're having an IV bottle that's an empty soda can or a soda bottle. And they're just, that's if you're getting anything. You're having a radio that you can't turn down that has government propaganda that you have to listen to whether you want to or not. And if the government deems you worthy enough, you'll get food. And if not, you don't eat. It depends on how much you praise the dear leader of your nation. But that's what these people want. And I cannot understand for the life of me what has gone on to have people behave like this or support this. This is not the country I ever thought I would see in America. You know, because I get asked this question all the time. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And you just get the message out. I would love to meet some of these people and say, where do you come up with this white privilege? Oprah Winfrey is a billionaire. She's not white. Michael Jordan doesn't have white privilege. He has American privilege. And what that meant is getting into the basketball court at 6 a.m. every day before school and practicing and working on his jump shot. Steve Vai is not where he is because he just picked up a guitar and started playing. He's where he is because he got a guitar, he sat down, and what some people, what he thought anyone could do, he was spending 14 and 16 hours every day practicing and learning. That's not handout. That's, you know, Michael Jordan wasn't handed money. Donald Trump wasn't handed money. And even if he was handed some, but, okay, give me $10 million. Look at how many lottery winners get handed a one lump sum of money and how many of them are broke because they don't know how to deal with it. Donald Trump's where he is because he busts his butt and he works for what he earns. There's no privilege about anything. This country was designed so anyone could come here and have a dream and achieve it. Where did we go into this country from? Okay, folks, I started out with $25 and I came from Poland. And I started a Polish delicatessen in New York. And now we are living the American dream. People are like, well, the American dream means the government's just going to hand me stuff. Free education. I don't get it. I don't know. It just boggles my mind. But then I've had people where I work that are there 19 years old and it's their first job. I used to do construction with my dad when he had his business in Connecticut. And it's like, okay, yep, just know that if an inspector gets here, they'll give me a command that when I heard this to get off the machine because I cannot run the Bobcats or like a dump body or anything like that because I'm not old enough. I know how to run a Bobcat and do all these machines, but you had to be 18. And as long as an inspector's not there, they had no problem letting me use them because I know how to do it. But at the same time, you know, if they gave me the command, okay, an inspector's here, get off. But you, when I was on them, the inspectors never showed up. But, you know, that was like 13 and 14. I was busting my butt working. I was brought up, if you want it, you got to earn it. You got to have a dream. I never thought that the American dream would be a government-run free-for-all where the government gives you stuff for free. Yeah, I want to have, like, the government become one big Salvation Army so I can just get whatever I want. I would love to have these people. Yeah, I'm getting my free phone and give them, like, a rotary phone. One of those old from, like, the 1970s. Here you go. Here's your free phone. What, you think you're getting a cell phone? You say, the thing says free phone. It doesn't say what kind. Yeah, this is a, you got your choice between a GE and a Southwestern Bell. It's a rotary phone from the 70s. Well, they were made about 6 months ago, but they replicate the exact same phone that you would have had in the 70s. The thing says free phone. It doesn't say what kind. You just assume you're getting a cell phone. But since it's free, this is what we're giving you. Just like the healthcare, you know, it's going to get to the point where if you have the money, you can get the healthcare. If not, see ya. You know, they have a cure for Hep C, but it's so damn expensive. Most insurances won't even cover it. So if you got the money, you'll be able to have the treatment. If not, but that's how it goes, folks. That's how the cookie crumbles, because you want stuff for free. I just don't, you know, but at least there are a lot of people waking up and, you know, and saying, hey, wait a minute here. Because I think a lot of people, what I've noticed is they're starting to realize, well, wait a minute here. I voted for Obama and I'm not noticing this change or anything great. I mean, I still have friends that think he's Jesus Christ and he's the greatest president ever. But a lot of my friends are like, wait a minute here. I'm paying way more in taxes. All these things that I was promised aren't happening. And now I don't know what to do because, Paul, I really didn't think I got what I was promised out of George Bush, who was a Republican. I didn't get what I was promised out of Bill Clinton, who's a Democrat. And Obama really didn't give me what I wanted, who's a Democrat. So, you know, I don't, they're both screwing me. So what do I do? And I think that's why a lot of people want Trump, just because, hey, he's not really a political person. And, hey, let me try and let me see what he does. Let me gamble on him. You know, what was it they said? I read this post. It's hilarious. It goes, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but why Hillary Clinton's not in jail. And they have all these jokes like that and stuff. And it's like, you know, we go back and forth. You know, Trump argues with Hillary. They go back and forth. But guess what? In the end of the day, like I said before, you know, that I've seen birth certificates of Obama that are so fake and documents that were online that are so fake of his that it's like, yeah, they just want you to argue because if you argue whether or not he's not going to get thrown out of office, I don't think, because there's new documents and new emails that contradict and prove that Hillary's lied, but do you think they're really going to do anything to her? But it's scary because you have the choice between Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton and if you get Hillary Clinton to where she's not running for president, then you got Bernie Sanders. But at least the only way I can say good about that is at least you wouldn't have the possibility of having like a Bernie Sanders Hillary Clinton ticket. Because I'd see that, I guarantee you that's gonna happen. I really believe if Hillary Clinton gets in, Bernie Sanders is gonna be a VP. That way they can take the party and unite them. And all these people that, well, hey, well, I really wanted Bernie Sanders to get the nomination, but hey, I'm happy that he's at least a VP. I don't know any accomplishments he has. All I know is I'm going to get all this free stuff, whatever that means. I'll probably make some fake, phony college. Here's your college. These books are from like the... These books are reprints from like the 1930s. Well, yeah, we said you're getting free college. We didn't say it was anything relevant. So you got to understand what this free stuff is. Who knows what they're giving you for free? Yeah, North Korea, they talk about how, oh, they have free healthcare in North Korea. Well, there is no healthcare. Yeah, you basically die. I'm not putting my wife down in any way with this, but like, compare my size, height, compared to my wife, who's shorter. That's the comparison between, like, South Korea and North Korea due to malnutrition. The kids in North Korea are so malnourished and so ill and so underweight and under height and under everything because of the conditions. But their government's going to say, oh, North Koreans have free health care and free this and free that. Well, because there isn't any. The government may guarantee you free college, but there ain't going to be college. Or you're going to be studying whatever they tell you you're going to study, and you're going to learn whatever they want you to learn. Okay, you may, oh, we're not going to, oh, no, yep, you're going to have to take Buddha 506. Okay, I don't believe it. Well, you know, hey, we tell you what you're going to study. You know, if we lose our freedom here, where is any other person going to go that's trying to get away from the oppression of a government? You know, it's just one of those things, man. You know? But as we get, I want to get into the AIPAC conference, you know, which I stand 100% behind Israel, not Iran. Like some of those anti-Trump supporters that support nations that want to kill them. I mean, I just want to meet some of those anti-Trump supporters and they say, you know, that you support some things. You support people that want to kill you. You realize that you stand with Iran. They want us dead. But, you know, damn evil, evil Israel people. They're the only democracy in the Middle East that lets you do what you want. I think Ted Cruz won over the crowd the most. I think the people when Hillary Clinton spoke just kind of felt like they didn't want to embarrass her, so they just kind of felt like they had to clap. You know, like, okay, you know, we don't really believe you, but we're just going to, you know, we're going to give you the respect you shouldn't deserve. I think Trump got a lot of applause, and, you know, they've all said one thing and done something else. They've all, you know, Hillary Clinton said for years that, you know, marriage is only between a man and a woman, and then find out later that, oh, now if a man wants to marry a donkey, okay, call it marriage. You get married in front of PETA, you know, whatever. Cruz has said some things at one time, and then he's changed his view, but like Trump and all of them, but they can sit there and say, okay, this is what I meant, this is what I said, this is, you know. And I really think out of all those that were out, the only one that didn't come was Bernie Sanders. And I really think he's just in the race just to give Hillary someone to run against. Or else, you know, she would just seal the nomination instantly. Which I'm surprised they haven't just said, okay, you know, we're gonna make sure you get the nomination sealed up so that we can just start going right after the Republicans. You know, but that's just how it is. You know, I mean, that's where this, you know, I really think Ted Cruz really, he's got my vote. He's got my vote. I just like what he said. You know, and he just seems like someone that I just feel like he is who I am. You know, I just resonate with him, and I think he's legitimate. You know, and it's just incredible, you know, to when you see those people and, you know, they all speak and they're all up there and they're supporting Israel and stuff like this. And it's just, you know, because they are. I just don't understand how, like, a lot of these countries that are our allies, that are our biggest friends, and, you know, and the guy in the White House now just craps on them. Just don't, you know. And I don't think a Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton would change it. They would keep going with it. You know, they would crap on them, but they would be seen as not crapping on them. And I want to get into something because, you know, because there's all these blacks that want repercussions and all this stuff. And I'm old because my ancestors were slaves and stuff. And I want to get into because my ancestors, I've got repercussions from my ancestors. I've gotten things from my ancestors. See, my ancestors were slave miners. They were slaves to the coal miners. The coal companies were their owners. And they had coins, and I'd love to try to find some original coal currency because it's just for the heritage, but it's a really valuable. And the Molly Maguires were a group of Irish immigrants that came here in the 1840s when to try to get away from the potato famine. And what they did was they were trying to get rights for the miners, and there are two repercussions. In 1979, 100 years following his hanging, John Kehoe, the supposed king or the leader of the Molly Maguires, was granted a pardon by the Pennsylvania state. The state of Pennsylvania. So, congratulations. That's what he got. But what we got is rights. You get paid vacation, you get breaks, you get things at your job, thanks to John Kehoe. But James McKenna, a native Irishman, whose real name was James McParland, actually spent 2.5 years infiltrating the coal miners and gaining their trust, and then took them down, you know. But I'm not going, okay, because of my ancestors, I want all this stuff, gimme, gimme, gimme. But there are so many people that want all this stuff, that believe they're owed. Well, look at the Jews. The Jews have gotten repercussions because of, yeah, they may give repercussion to the actual, okay, because you survived this concentration camp and this, we're going to do stuff for you. They're not giving repercussions to a Jewish person that's alive now because of a fifth cousin, you know, that's twice removed, okay? Well, my great-grandfather, you know, because of something that happened to him, I'm getting benefits. You know, but hey. You know, but it's not like, I don't understand why they feel like they're owed something because of people that they've never met or they don't even know. It's a part of our history. I don't support it, but, you know, hey. I don't support what the coal mining industry did, but it's a part of our heritage. You know, it's what gives us the labor laws we have so that kids can't work at 6 years of age, that you get days off, that you get breaks, that you get these things. Thanks to my ancestors and the Molly Maguires and things that they fought for. The blacks should be thankful that they did get repercussions. They are allowed to vote. There is civil rights. There are not white bathrooms and black bathrooms anymore. That's what they fought for. There was a, I'm trying to think of what this show was. It was like a cartoon, and there was good guys, and it was called Mask, and there were good guys and bad guys, and they were fighting and all this stuff and trying to find this treasure. And what they realized is during the Ice Age, this cavern was very, 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 very warm, and that was the value, because they're looking for all this money and all this stuff, and the evil people of the I forget what the show, what the evil people were, but it was like a blue helicopter. And the one guy, the evil person, they were trying to get the treasure. And what they realized in the end is the treasure was the fact that during the Ice Age, that was very warm. And it was a refuge from the cold. What these blacks need to wake up and realize is that they've got repercussions. There's not white and black bathrooms. Are race relations perfect? No, but they're 100 times better than they ever have been. They're able to vote as long as, like I have to in some states, as long as I have my ID and I can prove who I am, I can vote. And in a lot of states, that's the case. And a black person can vote. There's no, the civil rights are over. They have a lot of benefits that are the repercussions for the slavery. Because you went through slavery, we have fought to change things. And that's what they don't realize. You know, these new emails of Hillary Clinton, that's not going to change anything, you know. As long as the left has her back, you know, I wonder what it would take for Hillary Clinton to be like taken to where, okay, she's being completely investigated to where she has to drop out of the race. What would it take? I'd really love to know what it'd take to have Hillary Clinton taken out of the race for an investigation. I mean, you know, if you want Hillary Clinton to stop lying, don't ask her a question. You know, it's just that simple. And I'm going to move on to a couple feel-good stories. This one is great. It is in Vancouver, Washington, at a Dutch Brothers Coffee. There, Barbara Danner wrote that this lady in front of her, this young lady, lost her 37-year-old husband the night before, and a bunch of the coffee workers came together through the drive-thru to pray for her. They didn't have to do that. They didn't have to extend their hand. But it's what Christians do for Christians. It's what we do for other people. I don't have to do stuff for other people. I do it because it's the right thing to do. You know? And it's just amazing. And there was another one where I think this kid was like 15 years old or 13. And he was with his mom, and this elderly guy was having a hard time pumping gas. And he went out and just started helping him and pumped his gas for him and everything. So, basically, her mom was like in tears. He didn't want nothing, just a hug, thank you. This is basically, you know, someone doing something for someone else. And granted, I do that every day because where I work. But my wife, you know, has done that for years. But you just see like a 13-year-old kid just out of his own volition do that. That's just great. And here is my wife. She just wants to say something really quick.
Yesterday was the third year of my great niece Molly's birthday, and we got to go and celebrate. And my wonderful husband made her birthday by learning and playing on his guitar, "Happy Birthday." And the video is on Facebook if you'd like to look. I just want to tell him thank you. Happy birthday, Molly. And he is truly bad. He does go out of his way above and beyond for people. He's a truly amazing man. And that's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you. But, I mean, I do have to say this, though. The parents are like, what did you do to my daughter so that we can do that? Because she will not shut up, and you got her to be silent. And she was speechless, yes. But like that, like at that Dutch Brothers Coffee and that kid doing the pump, it's, Kate, what did that cost that kid for helping that guy pump gas or praying for that person? It cost nothing, but it meant the world. You know, you might be that person that's there for somebody, you know. I actually wrote on K-Love to see how to do that. The encouraging story of the day. I'd love to call in and do that. And I don't know if it's like something that they pre-record or how they do that. But I wrote the Facebook page, the morning show, to see how they do that. If you get K-Love where you're from, listen to it. It's a great radio station. It's all listener funded, no commercials. That's why I got into it in the first place, because there's not many commercials, if any, none really. You know, they may say like this K-Love is brought to you by, you know, like Jason's Law Firm of Northern Indiana, you know, and he donates. And they just mention the fact that he donates. But, you know, it's a great thing. You know, it's a great radio station. A lot of people, you know, change lives because of it. And it's great, you know, to see, to know that when you donate money to the radio station, that you actually change people's lives. And it's really, it's good because they always try to have positive stuff on there, news stories and different things. And it's nice to go to the movies and have positive and encouraging shows to see, considering you got to spend $19 for two people, and then you have to spend another $9 to get a little tiny bucket of popcorn with a little small drink. And see, I could get a pretzel for $6.50 if it was gluten-free, but since I can't have gluten, I got to pay, which I don't understand why the popcorn is more expensive than the pretzel, but I think when we went to Colorado Springs for our honeymoon when we went to go see the Thoroughly Well concerts. I think it was like 20-some bucks for like two drinks and a popcorn. I'm like, okay, I think that cost more than a ticket to see the show. It's just ridiculous, but, you know. But don't worry, if the government gets in, you'll probably not be able to bring your own, because I think you can probably bring your own, like, chips or something, if you really wanted to. They may not. They may say something, they may not, but... Me either, but, you know, but there was a guy, I think it was in, like in the 40s or 50s in Germany that was, he brought in his own stuff in a movie theater, and they beat him to death. That's what you're going to get. But, you know, because the government's going to run everything, but still, miracles in heaven, I mean, you better bring, like, 10 boxes of Kleenex, because that movie is just, it's just, to me, it was emotional, but at the same time, because that hospital... Boston Children's is the same hospital where that girl was taken from her family because they claimed Mitoxin bipralazine and that they were over-medicating her and all this stuff. But, I mean, that movie is just... I got a beautiful lady over there. There is nothing you could ever do to tell me that God don't exist. I mean, you can make God's Not Dead, you know, the part 9 million, and I'd... Okay, one was enough. I knew he exists. But it's just amazing. And if you don't know, it's a true story based on a lady that when she was born, she had like all kinds of stuff, obstructions in her bowel to where like her body, signals from her brain wouldn't tell her body that she had food and it wouldn't digest and it would just sit in there and then like she would basically throw up because it wouldn't digest and all this stuff. And finally, they go to the specialist, and she's like, lady, I came from Texas. Here's all the information. I have to do this and this and this and this just to, and it's not this. It's not acid reflux. It's not this, and there's nothing wrong and all this stuff. And when it's all said and done, she's playing in a tree and falls into the center of the tree. And when she falls in, she believes that she went to heaven, and she goes, I don't want to leave. And he goes, no, you got to go back. And she goes, I don't want to go back unless I'm healed. And when she comes back, all these things are like, all they can say is it's a miracle. Yeah, the doctors don't know what to say. And I wonder if it actually happened, because in the movie, there's like a couple that's like, well, what did you do? What did you do to have her like this? Did you sin? Did you sin? Or is it your daughter's sin that caused this, or, you know, and like, you know, are you doing this for publicity? Oh yeah, we're spending money we don't have to fly all the way to Boston, Massachusetts from Texas to see a doctor when nothing's wrong. But I mean, I'd lose it if that someone did that to me. But that's just, it's just great to be able to. Let's go see a movie. Let's take out a loan. Let's mortgage whatever we have so we can go see a movie, because it's like $9 million now to see a movie. You know, but it's nice to know that when you go to a movie, you can see something that you can... Wow, there's still good in this world. There's still, you know, well, God's still there. You know, when everything else perishes, all you got left is Jesus. You know, he's the only hope in this nation right now. Amen to that one. Because, you know, Hillary's not going to save us. Obama's not going to save us. Trump's not going to save us. Cruz isn't going to save us. Jesus is going to save us. Now, I about lost it about 5 or 6 years ago now when I think it was Damon Wayans or one of those. He goes, and our savior, Barack Hussein Obama. And I'm like... I had to replay it like 10 times because I could not believe what came out of his mouth. I'm not going to sit there and say, okay, my savior, Ronald Reagan. You know, I would never have an American flag with Ronald Reagan's face on it, but so many people had it with Obama's face on it instead of the stars. Well, I can't take it down. Someone gave it to me. I'm like, okay, excuse me, you're going to desecrate a flag? I don't care who you put on it. Just because you put George Washington's face on there doesn't make it right.
They know that would be the only flag I'd
want. Yeah. I don't. Okay, take a Betsy Ross flag with the 13 stars, and in the center of it, put George Washington. That's not right. But if you made it different, so you're not replicating the flag, you know, and you did it as like a symbol, but if you're taking the American flag and putting a president on there, even North Korea doesn't have their dictator on a flag. What a conversation. I want to thank you all for tuning in, you know. It's just, I guess I never thought I would live in a country like this. Nothing, you know. But hey, what do you know? You know, you have these, I just want to get like, there's a picture I posted on Facebook and it has like a huge, like an, sort of like a bobcat, but like 25 times the size that you would use for like in a coal mine or whatever, that like the bucket could hold like a bus, and it had like a huge snow plow, and it goes, okay, time to run over some and plow some of those protesters. I just wondered this, if anyone, because I don't know this, and I'm just wondering how many Trump supporters are trying to ban or stop Hillary rallies. Okay, we have a freedom in this country. You may not agree with Trump or Cruz or Carson or Hillary or me, but I should have the right to speak my mind. Because I have a friend that believes Barack Obama's... I mean, if he wasn't a Christian, he would think he's Jesus Christ, but since he's a Christian, he knows that God is his Lord and Savior. But he thinks the world of Obama. And I said, you know what? Be thankful you get to hear my viewpoint, because there might become a time where you don't have the option to have a viewpoint. You're going to believe what the government tells you, or they're just going to have a mass grave, and that's where you're going to end up. It's scary, but what Glenn Beck was saying with the top down, bottom up, inside out, how they're trying to dismantle this country from the inside, from the people itself. Well, if we can't bankrupt, and we can't do, if the U.S. is too big to fall apart via the financial system or the government, we need to have it fall apart via the people and have them infighting. We can't let that happen. You know, I support their right to support Hillary Clinton. I'm not going to try to stop a Hillary supporter. Why do they feel the need to try to stop Trump people? All it's going to do is just, he's going to get more popular out of it. That's what the White House found out when they started going after Fox News. The more they went after Fox News, the more people, it's like Howard Stern. Okay, let me see here on these ratings here. 10 million people watch and listen to Howard Stern. Why? Because they wonder what he'll say next. What about the people who hate him? They wonder what he'll say next. You know, why are these people trying to block Trump? Let me listen to him, and he's going to get more people listening to him. May not follow him. You know, when they started going after Fox News, the White House did, and more people are like, well, why are they going? And Fox News ratings jumped. We got to do something, you know, because we got to come together as a nation, you know. And the only hope is in Jesus, and the only hope is in people. A government didn't sit there and say, okay, yeah, we need to send a representative out there to pray for this woman because she just lost her husband. No. The people came together and said, hey, let's pray for this woman. You know, there wasn't a government person sitting there helping that guy pump the gas. It was a hand of God saying, here, I'll do it for you. I don't need, just give me a hug. Pass it on. You know, I didn't have to buy that guy's meal in Michigan City. I did it because it's the right thing to do, and I hope pass it on. Keep it going. You know, Chris Rice, you know, he's an amazing Christian artist, you know, and he goes, you know, just light the candle inside you and just let it go. I've never wanted to be seen as prideful, and I've never looked at myself as anything special, but to me, I've never seen myself as special because how hard is it to hold a door for someone or to help someone fill gas or do something like that? I mean, some of these things are so mundane just to be there for another, just to sit there and talk. Yeah, I'll help you out. Sit down, let's talk. And then 6 hours, then about 4 hours under the phone, are you still there? Yeah, I'm here. I'm just letting you vent. Okay. Thank you so much. You know? I listened to the whole conversation. I could have just set the phone down and walked away and came back 3 hours later and they'd probably still be going, "Durr." But that's called being a friend. That's called, it doesn't cost anything to be there for someone. You know, for years, this people in this country relied on each other, not on government. Where did we go wrong? Thinking that we have to rely on a government, not on each other. And now to some devastating news. If you're a Manchester United fan, I'm sure you've heard about this one, but wow, I gotta, this is just there and yeah. Bastian Schweinsteiger is out for the rest of the season due to knee injuries suffered during international play with Germany. You know, our hope. He's just an amazing player, and he's basically done for the rest of the season. That's via Sky Sport in England, you know, and he was just, it's just when you don't got that many great, when you're losing players, you can't lose someone of that depth and that. I mean, Louis Van Gaal still says, but I don't know what he's thinking now, but he was saying that he still thinks we can get to fourth or even third because we have to get to at least fourth place at the end of the Premier League season for us to even. Next year. You know, we're sixth right now in the league with 50 points. You know, and Louis Van Gaal says that, you know, hey, fourth is in reach and we can do it. And I really think we can. I mean, but with Schweinsteiger out, I don't know what's going to happen. It's really going to, I don't know. The bench keeps getting smaller and smaller. But he keeps bringing up people from the under-21 clubs that, to see how he's attuning is to knowing where the ball is, and he to me, I like Rashford a lot because he just seems like, okay, he just takes the shot. He doesn't try to set it up because I think he feels like maybe if he tries to set up the shot, by the time he sets it up, he may not have an opportunity where he's just gonna go for it, and if it goes in, it goes in, and if not, he probably wouldn't have a chance to set it up, because by the time he would have, they would have just been like, okay. They got in the way, and they stopped me from shooting altogether, you know, and it's just amazing to see him progressing and scoring like he has, and, you know, with Schweinsteiger out, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, I hope we can get. Fourth would be a miracle to me. I'd love to see fourth, but to be out of the UEFA Champions League next year, that would be the death knell for Louis van Gaal, I think. But I think they can get to fourth. I really think it's a realistic goal. They've still got plenty of games left. It's not till May that the season's over, so I just really think, you know, that they're going to, I think they can get it done. They can do it. They can get to fourth. You know, but it's just amazing to see the league and where it's where it is, and you know, the teams that you, who would have thought Chelsea would be where they are, and West Ham, and all these, it's just magical to see some of these teams that normally are never nowhere near the top, at the top, and you know, it's just, that's what it's all about, you know. Anyone can root for the good guys, you know. Anyone can root for the Casey Canes and, you know, NASCAR, like the Helio Castroneves of IndyCar, but the one car teams, you know, that have no money, they're the ones I'm like, yeah, I want to see them do something. I want to see them show that, yeah, you got $50 million and you got three cars and you're spending, you know, $100 million on, you know, on this car, $50 million in this one, $200 million in this car, and this group's, you know, got one sponsor and they've got like, they're just scrimping and getting whatever they can and putting it together. And that's what I live for, these underdogs. I guess because I'm from Indiana and everyone, you know, relives the movie Hoosiers and the team Mile and High. You know, I just, I've always been like the person that loves to see the underdog do something. You know, if Manchester United ain't going to be up there, it's nice to see a team that hardly ever gets up there doing so well. And it's incredible. Got about 2 minutes left in the program, folks, and I want to thank you all again so much for tuning in. It's just amazing, you know. And also, that just something that just happened recently. John Caffrey, a Dutchman and former Manchester United player, has died at 68 due to cancer. He was battling it for years, and he was just incredible. I've seen some old video of him. It was just interesting to see him. You know, the old videos, and imagine seeing him play live. That would have been incredible back in the day. But it's just amazing. And I want to leave you with this. This is so hilarious, but my friend gave this to me, and I posted it, and it goes, Purdue University, the only school in America where you're more likely to go to the moon than a Final Four. And that's so true, because... You know, we've got like a number one seed and we still couldn't do anything. And, you know, and we at least, hey, we may not have won the national championship in basketball, but guess what? Except for with the women, but with the men, we haven't. But, hey, we've landed a man on the moon. And I want to leave you with that because, you know, when it comes down to it, college is about a degree, not football or basketball. It's about knowledge. When you think about college, think about trades. You know, it's hard to find people that are plumbers and electricians and stuff like that. We need all those. And that's about it, folks. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Until next time, good night, God bless, and goodbye. See you next week.